We've been trying to discuss some of the Rabbanim, the lesser-known Rabbanim from Bnei Brak. So we've so far talked about Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Tarfon, and we'll talk a little bit today about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva will leave some other time. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva was the most well-known, most legendary of the five Rabbanim. So who was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was also a descendant of Ezra. We mentioned yesterday Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen who descended from Ezra. So that gave him pedigree. He was also very wealthy, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Chazal say the Gemara in Brachos has a list that if you see certain personalities in a dream, you should expect your life to take that turn. You should expect certain circumstances to occur. The Gemara says if you see Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in a dream, you should expect to become wealthy. So if anyone sees Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in their dream tonight, it's a good omen. Now that's going to be important later because of his promotion. We'll talk about his promotion later. He was a descendant of Ezra Cohen. Again, Ezra Shas is thousands of years ago and removed, but Ezra for them was about, about 500 years earlier. Okay, Elazar ben Azariah evidently excelled in Agadata, in Medrash, to the point that when his colleague, Rabbi Akiva, tried to play his hand in Medrash, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told Rabbi Akiva, Klach lecha etzel negayim va'olos. Rabbi Akiva, why are you wasting your time with Midrashim? You should be learning the difficult areas of Meseches Olos and Meseches Negayim. So evidently there was a bit of a difference between Rabbi Akiva, who excelled in the halacha areas, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And most of our statements of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and I'll share some of them, are more based on Agadata, which reminds us that very often it's difficult for people to do both. We know many people in our world that are halachic poskim and Rashi Yeshivos and give shiurim, and we look to them for halachic guidance. And then there are the thinkers and the people who help us with the big ideas and the grand concepts of Judaism. We very rarely find people who excel in each. I feel very privileged that I met someone like that, my Rebbe Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who is a world-class Talmud Chacham, a world-class Magatir, world-class Posek, and also was a man of great ideas and large ideas, but very rare. It's very rare to find them each. And in this dichotomy between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is a big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Akiva obviously had many Midrashim, but evidently, one was known for their expertise in Agadata. One was known, obviously, more for their expertise, Rabbi Akiva, in Halacha. I want to share with you, let me just tell you the primary statement we know from Elazar ben Azariah, because it's in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, and often we get it wrong. Elazar ben Azariah talked about four values, actually eight values, but four couplets of values that are reciprocal. A requires B. B requires A. So there's a palindromic relationship. You don't have A, you don't have B. If you don't have B, you don't have A. We oftentimes only quote part of the sentence, not the entire sentence. So one of his couplets was, Em ein derech eretz, ein tara. But he also said, Em ein tara, ein derech eretz. I don't have time to go into all of them. They're obviously all very deep, but derech eretz is not just moral conscience, but derech eretz is politeness and creating human convention and operating in a society showing deference to other people. So without showing proper politeness and midos, you obviously can't learn Torah. But evidently without Torah, humanity can't be dependent upon to create a convention of interaction without some moral guidance from Hashem. So main derech eretz ain't Torah, main Torah ain't derech eretz. Main chachma ain't yira, main yira ain't chachma. So obviously without fear of God, all your knowledge can collapse. And we're seeing today the collapse of great institutions of knowledge that don't have fear of God or moral direction. But also, he said, Amen Chachma in Yira. So Yira is not something you can just arrive at innately. You have to think about it, you have to study it, you have to understand its depth. So Amen Yira in Chachma, then Amen Chachma in Yira. Amen Chachma, Amen Bina in Das, Amen Das in Bina. So without knowledge, there can't be wisdom. You achieve wisdom on the road to, you acquire knowledge and then you build wisdom. Knowledge is Eleanor Roosevelt. Was it Eleanor Roosevelt? No. I'm confusing with someone else. There are three levels of knowledge. There's information, there's knowledge and wisdom. Information is facts. Knowledge is important facts. Wisdom is combining knowledge and combining it into deeper understanding, to seeing into the life of things. So main das ein bina, without any knowledge, there's no wisdom. But ein bina ein das. Without wisdom, the knowledge can become very very chaotic and very disorganized and very discombobulated. And the third combination he spoke about, of course, Emein Kemach Ein Tara. We all know that part. But he also said Emein Tara Ein Kemach. That without the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tara, then all human acquisition of wealth at some point will be meaningless or empty. So these are the four couplets that Elazar ben Azariah delivered. We sometimes quote only half of them, Emein Derech Eretz Ein Tara, forgetting the reciprocal side of Emein Tara, Ein Derech Eretz. Let me just conclude by discussing that day, Bo Bayom. What happened Bo Bayom? So I mentioned earlier this week, last week, that Rabbi Gamliel was insensitive to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya on two occasions. Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Sanhedrin, so they deposed Rabbi Gamliel and they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as his replacement. Later on, when Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had a rapprochement, so they re-promoted or reinstalled Rabbi Gamliel as the Rosh Hashiva, and once every 3 weeks or once every month was the Shabbos of Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Gamliel returned to be the Nasi. Elazar ben Azariah continued once every third or fourth Shabbos. Now his famous statement, Harani Kiven Shivim Shana, have many different interpretations. We all know the Medrash, that the night that he was expected to be promoted, his wife said, you look too young, no one will take you seriously, you're 18 years old, you don't have any white hairs. And he woke up the next morning with a full head and a full beard of white hairs. That's the legendary story. The Rambam, of course, the rationalist, assumes this can't be true. And the Rambam says that his hair didn't turn prematurely white miraculously. His hair turned prematurely white because he was working so hard in Talmud Torah that he had neglected some of his personal hygiene and personal medical attention, which led him to become prematurely white. I don't know if the science stacks up, but this is a characteristic Rambam refusing to assume there's some miracle which is not a national need. Obviously, Kriyas Yamsuf, Har Sinai, but all of a sudden Hashem's going to turn one person's beard white. It doesn't sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved in that nitty-gritty. Again, according to the Yishalmi, this statement, Harani Kiven Shivim Shana, was stated when he was 70 years old in retrospect. So we all think it's when he was 18 or 19 years old and he turned prematurely gray, but according to the Yishalmi, it sounds like he said this statement when he really had white hairs. Anyway, what happened? That one day that Elazar ben Azariah was promoted in place of Rabbi Gamliel, two major events happened, and that's why it's recorded as Bo Bayom. Number one, the one that we all speak about, one that's well known, is that Rabbi Gamliel was more of a stickler and had a very, very stiff policy of whom he accepted into his yeshiva. You had to be tacho kibaru. You had to have moral integrity. Be the same person externally that you are internally. And not that many people passed the test. It's very reminiscent of a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shammai said, these are the four requirements for being accepted to his yeshiva. You had to be smart, wealthy, humble, and pedigreed. And yeah, I understand that without those four qualities, you can distort Torah. If you're not smart, you'll make mistakes. If you're not pedigreed, you won't understand the internal dynamic of Torah unless you've seen it in the home. If you're not humble, you'll look self-aggrandized. If you're not wealthy, you'll exploit it for profit. So I understand Shammai's position. And Hillel said, you know what, just teach Torah to as many people as possible. So this was an ancient debate as to whether you should be more restrictive in whom you should accept to yeshiva or more embracing. So this debate plays out about 200 years after Hillel and Shammai in the form of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was much more conservative, much more selective. That day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah came and he said, you know what, let everyone come to the Beis Medrash, let everyone enter. And that day, they added a couple hundred benches. And you still see today, it's different versions, how many? You still see today different approaches to yeshiva. My own approach based on Rav Amital is I want a yeshiva to be as embracing as possible. I see there's one big campfire. Everyone comes and surrounds the campfire and gets what they can from the fire. And I don't see the goal of a yeshiva only. Sometimes boys will ask me, is your yeshiva shtark? Shtark is a very popular word for 19-year-olds to indicate we're the strong ones. And to me it sounds very, very exclusive and very dichotomizing. I said, why not a shtark yeshiva? Yeshiva people to come and get what they can from a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah. In some places, want to be shtark, we'll only take the starker boys into the yeshiva. It's an old classic debate. What also happened on that day, less well known, is that was the famous day of Maseches Edios. That was the day in which everyone came forward and delivered their testimonies about the conclusive Pesach Halacha about a range of sfeikos, and the Gemara says it was no suffix. Obviously, it's an exaggeration that wasn't dealt with on that day. People mistakenly referred to the Maseches as Maseches Edios, because it's the best in choice statements. The real reason it was Bo Bayom Hayed Elazar ben Gedaya. This was the day that people stepped forward, and I'm always fascinated by the interaction between these two shifts on that day. How come all of a sudden the day that the Beis Medrash was open to everyone was the day that they reached halacha clarity? Is there any interaction between the way you structure a yeshiva and how embracing you are and the level of clarity you achieve But the fact that more people were invited, more people had ideas, did it create an environment of clarity? Did it create, when people are very selective and demanding, does it create a suppressive environment? So it's fascinating to think about those two phenomena that occurred on the day Reb Ben Azariah was promoted. Number one, they added benches because 300-400 more boys joined. Probably more, 400 benches is probably not how long the benches were, but a couple thousand Talmidei Chachamim. But also they reached a level of clarity that had been withheld from them earlier. Chag Sameach, everyone. Chag Sameach. Thank you.